Good morning, Tony. Hope you're well and not sort of sploshing around too much in the wet.
Yeah, it's been one of those months. I mean, it just hasn't stopped, has it?
It's just dreadful. It really is. I do think nature will sort itself out, hopefully. So don't panic too much, but just be careful as to what you're doing. And also remember that we can get frosts right up to the end of May.
Mm. The thing with it is, because we mentioned it last month as well, this thing about the rain and the soggy ground, it's put planting things back quite some way, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, when I take the dog out, the fields are beginning to dry out a little bit. And then, of course, you get another absolutely ghastly shower and they get muddy again. But it will sort itself out, I'm sure. But the more compost you can put into the ground, like, you know, horse manure, mushroom compost, that sort of thing, that opens the whole thing up and encourages drainage.
Mm. So, yeah, well, drainage is the important thing when it comes to rain. But
absolutely,
the trouble is, for many people who've got clay soil, that's not the wet is not a friend at all, is it?
And no, I mean, I could grow pots. I could make pots out of my stuff here.
Yeah.
It is thick Wealden clay. But the more you put onto it and the more sort of your own compost or anything else, make the air into the soil. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Because roots need air.
Yeah, well, of course, apart from planting things, which we're going to get to in a short while, while things have been so damp, there are other things that we can do in the garden, like pruning.
Absolutely, yeah. Figs is one thing. It's just becoming to the season now where you need to sort of start removing weak or damaged crossing branches. Absolutely a pruning mantra, really. Crossing anything that's rubbing up against it, anything diseased, oik it out. It doesn't need to be there.
Pardon my ignorance on this, Jean. Pardon my ignorance, but you mentioned figs. How common are fig trees in British gardens?
Oh, masses. Oh, honestly, you'd be amazed at the amount of people who love to have figs in there. And there is a bit of a silly story, actually, because my daughter in New Zealand FaceTimed me this week. And I said, so how are the figs? How are the figs? She said, two dropped off. And one was absolutely just ready to eat. Had a squeeze of it, and tomorrow it's going to be there. Blimmin' bird came down. Yes. Say no more.
Yeah. So you said that with such enthusiasm and excitement, actually. How are the figs going? I had no idea it was such a thing.
Oh, it is. Oh, yeah. Loads of people have figs in the garden. The thing to remember with figs is they are very, very vigorous and you need to control their root growth. But also at this time of the year, you need to have anything which is in the autumn. What you should be doing is anything that's over your thumbnail size, like a pea size.
Yeah.
You should take off. So it's not going to ripen during the winter, so take it off. So all you need to do now is to leave branches with little pea-sized fruits and they'll mature out for you. But if we get a good summer, like last year, loads of people had good fig crops, actually. Really did. So, there we are.
I have to look up recipes for what to do with figs, I think, really. That might be an idea. I would guess
figs
there are many things.
Baked figs with honey.
Okay. We'll investigate that one sometime, I think, really. So pruning your fig tree and other fairly hardy annuals is probably the thing to be doing at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's about the last time to prune evergreen hedges, if you go that way. Privet and Fritinia. It's a bit late The Fritinia, which is the red robin, has come out very, very early this year.
Yeah.
Very early. So you just need to sort of take off anything. Either you reduce the height or And if you've got a tired looking hedge, then that's the time to cut it harder back.
Okay. So pruning's one thing. Next thing, I've got a little list of bits here, really.
Have you?
Yeah, future ghoul mite. This is something I need an education on because I have no idea.
Okay. Well, a lot of people found in the last few years that on their hardy fuchsias out in the garden or on their, their ordinary trailing fuchsias, etc., they keep saying, what's this great big thing that looks like a walnut on the end of the growing tips? I've got no flowers, people kept saying. No flowers whatsoever, just these walnuts on the end. And that's what the ghoul mite does. It forms, I suppose really what it does is that it mutates the cells and forms this sort of ugly looking lump and then pupates in there. And then it spreads very, very quickly from fuchsia to fuchsia, down the road, everywhere else. So they're very, very difficult to get rid of. And the main thing that people are being urged to do is if you see this here, you need to get a nice polythene bag, snip the thing off and let it drop into the polythene bag. Don't try to sort of take it off with your hand or anything. Cut it with the secateurs. And you know that I've got a thing, don't you, about disinfecting your secateurs.
Yeah.
Do that between going from one plant to another.
Well, it makes perfect sense because, I mean, like humans, they're different species, aren't they? And,
exactly.
We're all different. And I'm guessing all plants are different, aren't they?
Yeah, wash your hands, that's what it says. But it does. There has been some rumour around that the mite actually hitches a lift on a bumblebee.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are minute, and I mean that. So be very careful. There are several things that you can get for it. Spraying doesn't really have any effect. There is an organic biocontrol called Amberlicious, which is like a little, it's a bug to eat a bug. That has had some success, but the best thing to do is if you see it there, nip it off fairly rapidly and get rid of it. Either burn it or send it to the great compost heap in the sky, which is run by the council.
Yeah, that sounds good. But again, find the right sort of thing to actually get rid of the bug without actually doing too much harm to anything else.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. But keep the whole thing is be vigilant. And it isn't until all of a sudden you see this great big gnarled thing at the end of the fuchsia, you think, oh, my goodness, what have I got? So keep an eye on it.
Okay, so watch your fuchsias for the ghoul mite. Box plants is next up on the list.
Oh, glory, hallelujah. They are out in force.
What are box plants first? Explain.
Box hedging. It's a thing called Buxus, which is B-U-X-U-S. And it is attacked by the box moth. Now, there is a male and a female moth, obviously. It doesn't always happen with pests, but with this there is. It's a very pretty little moth, very tiny, but about as big as my thumbnail, I suppose, or probably your thumbnail, which is probably a bit bigger than mine. And they are mottled brown and cream, really pretty. And they stick sometimes to the wall in the sun. They'll be on a brick wall taking in the sun. But the males impregnate the females, and therefore the caterpillars that come absolutely devastate the hedge. And I mean devastate. They will take every single leaf off, Tony. Absolutely every single leaf. Now, there are several ways of doing it. You need to get in, and it's a little bit late to start now, but please do it. You need to get a pheromone trap. That's a P-H-E-R-E-M-O-N-E, a pheromone trap. And in the pheromone trap is the smell of a female moth. So the male thinks it's in there, and so goes in there and saying, hello, girl, and she isn't in there. but he can't get out again. So he doesn't then impregnate the female, who doesn't lay the eggs, and therefore no caterpillars.
Yeah. Now, I understand all of that.
Yeah.
There's a there's an issue here, isn't there? Because whilst you don't want things getting ruined by insects and other living creatures, the problem is, of course, that the insect numbers are greatly reduced from what they used to be, and they all have a purpose. They all have a purpose in life, but I know scientists are getting worried about the fact of the drop in numbers. So, are we trying to find sort of careful ways to actually discourage the insects rather than to sort of exterminate them?
That's why the pheromone trap works. The other thing is that you can buy, and you have to buy it online, a spray, which actually it does kill the caterpillars, but it infects the caterpillars with a bacteria rather than some nasty, horrible chemical that's going to go down into the soil.
Okay, so it is an issue, and I know it's been a problem for gardeners over, centuries, really, the problem of insects. But, I mean, if you drive a car, you will know full well that the windscreen doesn't get anywhere near splattered with insects as it used to, which means the same problem within the garden. And before long, if we don't have the insects, some of that's going to cause a problem for some of the stuff we grow, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. We do need pollinators all the time. And the thing is, of course, like with your, say, with your runner beans, you grow runner beans, Tony, don't you?
We do, yeah.
Right.
Well, Not with huge success. We're trying again this year.
Okay. Can I just suggest that you buy a variety called Moonlight?
Okay. Moonlight. Okay.
Moonlight. Yep. And it's an absolutely super one. You can buy it in most garden centres. And in fact, if sometime I'll see you, I hope, in the not too distant future, I'll show you some and you can have some and see what you think of them.
Oh.
It's called Moonlight and it's an absolutely super, super one. But if you're growing runner beans, plant a sweet pea at the side of it.
So really?
That the, honestly, if you grow sweet peas at the side, the scent of the sweet pea attracts in the pollinators,
mm-hmm.
and therefore they pollinate your beans at the same time.
Oh, right, okay. Oh, that's so, that's a very, very good tip. Plant a sweet pea by your runner beans and get them pollinated.
Oh, that's absolutely right.
Fabulous, fabulous idea. Right, we're up for that one. Mrs. Williams will be very interested in that one.
Because you didn't have a great deal of success with them last year, did you?
No. Well, we think because we put them in a wooden trough, there wasn't enough base space for
the roots in the trough.
Yeah. So we're trying something slightly different this year. Although, of course, because of the rain, it's all a little bit late or later. So, you can't even give an update at the moment because, well, they're still at that very, very early stage. And speaking of why things are very late, of course, the rain, as we mentioned, the wet weather and that. Mowing the lawn. I know many people sort of like to get out and mow their lawns end of February, which is way too early. But this year, of course, because of the rain, haven't been able to do anything. And the grass gets a bit long and unruly. What's the tip for getting through those first couple of cuts?
Well, just raise the blades on your mower. And if you can afford it, I know the thing is to have one of these hover mowers, which does a circular thing. And I know they're very good and they're very quick and they're easy to use. But they do encourage thatch, which is where the roots of the grass wind them round each other and you don't get good drainage after that. So if you are looking at a lawnmower, really get one with blades.
A rotary mower rather than a circular.
A rotary mower is exactly the same, actually. You need one with blades on it that go round. And a roller on the back, if you possibly can.
That's what I'm saying. That's a rotary mower. isn't it? The one you're talking about, like the old traditional ones with the blades on that sort of go round forwards.
Forwards, yes. That's
yeah,
right.
As opposed to the ones that float on a bed of air with the.
Like a hover mower.
Yeah, like a hover. They're not so good.
No, they're easy to use. They're very quick, but they don't do your grass really an awful lot of good.
That's if you've got grass. I haven't got grass. I know you haven't got grass, but
there are plenty of people that have.
You see plenty of people wanting to get out there at the moment. And of course, depends on where you are. Depends on the soil you've got, but the soil can still be fairly spongy and soft. And if your blades are too low, you can end up with all sorts of divots and holes in your lawn. So raise the blades is the tip.
Raise the blades, and also if you've got a box on there, collect the grass clippings at the moment.
Yeah, they'll be good at the moment, won't they? The nutrients in the grass will be quite good at the moment, won't they?
And pop that in your compost heap.
Very good for putting down when you plant other things a bit later on in the year. But speaking of planting. Veggie planting is the thing. Now, some of it, I'm guessing, should have been done a little while ago, but we're talking here about potatoes, courgettes, marrows and squashes, really, aren't we?
Yeah, a lot of people have held off putting on their tomato seeds. I mean, I held off right until the beginning of April, and I'm now pricking out my tomato seeds. And one of the tips for pricking out tomato seeds, when they start to grow, they grow a long stem, two seed leaves on the side, and then the proper leaves come in the middle.
Yeah.
Don't hold the stem. Always hold the seed leaves. So when you dibble your hole in the container that you're going to put them into, drop that tomato seed right the way down so that the two seed leaves sit on the surface of the soil rather than a long stem and two seed leaves up in the air. And that's the way that you get a real straggly, horrible tomato plant.
Right. Okay. So make sure those two seeds are actually sitting on the soil rather than the soil or way above it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got that, and it's going to be a strange old harvest this year, isn't it? Because some of this stuff is going to be a little later than it would normally be.
Exactly. There's a lot of things that are coming out early, and nature will take over, and eventually we'll catch up. But as I say, the courgettes, marrows, squashes, pumpkins... really, you need to be sowing them now. I've actually sown a little cucumber, and I like the little short picnic cucumbers. Mm. And this one is called Beth Alpha, A-L-P-H-A, and Beth as in B-E-T-H, as in Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And I grow them, and they really fruit prolifically, unbelievably so. And what I do with those is that I grow them... I put one in the greenhouse, some outside, but the ones in the greenhouse, I actually tie a string around the base of it, and then it goes up to a wire at the top of the greenhouse, and I just wind the cucumber around it. The easiest way, rather than have it on the ground, because if you got it on the ground, Mr. Slug will come along and have a nibble.
Yeah, there's another little problem that... has been going on for centuries, and we're still no further down the road in dealing with that one. But there you go. Jean, we've run out of time. I'll tell you what, I'm getting education every time I talk to you. I promise you. That's how to garden in 15 easy minutes, I think, really.
Good. Oh, well, at least if we can spread a little sort of well-being through gardening... Let's do it, Tony.
I think that's the case. Jean, it's been a joy and a pleasure as always. And thank you for your advice today. We'll catch up with you again in a month's time. For now, Jean Griffin, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.